it's so important that we enter into God's rest. Okay. The children of Israel refused to enter into God's rest. As a result, they did not see the promised land. What is refusing to enter into God's rest look like? Well, within that context, they made idols. They gave themselves over to sexual immorality. They murmured and they complained. They put God to foolish tests. All of these communicated a lack of trust in the God who brought them through. They had already experienced miracles. They'd already been led by a cloud. The Bible says they ate the same. They all ate the same spiritual food. All had the same drink. And yet, they decided to act like they didn't know God was real. And so, they did not inherit the promises that God had for them. The Bible goes on to say that this rest that God has blessed us with and this rest that God wants us to have has already been prepared for us and set aside for us before the world, before God even created us. For everything that you go through, God has already built in rest for you. He's already built in PTO. You have to take it. Take your time off. If God, people say this all the time, but it bears repeating. If God created the universe and everything in it, and took his time to do this in days, because he could have did it all by doing this, but took his time and intentionally spread out his creation and his creative process and then rested at the end, we certainly need to rest. And so sometimes you need to take a rest from how you think a situation is supposed to go. God does not owe us anything. He doesn't owe us blessings. He doesn't owe us any good and perfect thing that comes from him, in whom there is no variableness and no shadow of turning. He don't owe us nothing. Everything that we get from him is a fringe benefit of just being his. Just being his creation. When someone wants to give you a gift, you don't have your hand on your hip watching them hand out gifts to other people. Like, so when are you supposed to, you owe me mine. Like, when am I supposed to get mine? What do? You wait patiently. You wait humbly. And whatever it is that they give you, you're grateful for. Why don't we do that with God? Why do we have a sense of entitlement when it comes to blessings? Why don't we perceive closed doors as blessings? Why don't we perceive God's no as a blessing? Why don't we perceive God's not yet as a blessing? Here's something to ask yourself. Am I a brat? Has God been so good to me throughout my entire life that I now treat him like a genie? Has God given me so many things that I've become one of those entitled kids who thinks that everything I ask you for, you're supposed to give me? Even if I'm not ready for it? I was talking to my husband the other day. He posed an amazing question. Because there are so many people who want to get pregnant and who are not getting pregnant yet. And I'm grieved by it because it's like, I know the desire to have a child is so real and I dealt with it myself. It took us a while to get pregnant. And he was just like, what if when you get pregnant, what if you're going to die in childbirth? And what if God is trying to just elongate your life before you have to make that sacrifice? What if God is trying to perfect you all the more before you have to come meet him? Everybody wants stuff, but none of us really truly count the cost. It costs you to be somebody's wife. It costs to be someone's mom. It costs to be someone's minister. It costs to be somebody's boss. Why do you want what you want? The Bible says you pray for stuff, but I don't give it to you because you ask amiss. You just want to consume your lust upon the thing that you're asking for. Why do you feel like you need more money? Why do you want a child? Do you even pray for the child that you're asking God for? What kind of prayers do you pray for them? Do you think that you're patient? Because you need that to be somebody's parent. Are you a good steward? Because you need that to be somebody's boss. Do you have integrity? Because you need that to be somebody's minister. Why do you want what you want? Have you consulted God about what He wants for you? Have you seen about the people in closest proximity to you? The Bible says that it's when Job decided to pray for his friends that God restored all of his losses. The stuff that you are called to requires so much of you. The areas that you get attacked in, the areas that it's easy for you to become discouraged in, those are the very areas that you've been called to have dominion over, to have authority over, to help other people get free of. God brought this to my mind the other day, and it was just so funny to me because I know that I'm called to people and I know that I'm called to edify them. And as a result of that, throughout my life, God is... The enemy has perverted that. He's perverted charisma and me being likable into charm. And so now I can manipulate people because they like me. I have been called to women. So historically, the enemy has had me bump heads with the women that I've been in close relationship with. Become bitter toward them, be stabbed in the back by them, like, because I'm called to them. And if the enemy can get you to hate the people who you're supposed to help get free, he's won. So the Lord brought me to Jonah and the fact that Jonah is called to Nineveh because the people are disobedient. And Jonah's irritated and doesn't want to do it because the people are disobedient. So he disobeys God. Like, the irony of that is like, wait, not you doing the thing you mad at them for doing. God called you. Sometimes you're going to be annoyed by the very people you're called to. That's okay. For everything you do for God, you need Him in it. For everything that He's called you to, you need Him in it. Life is not about being on cruise control. The Bible says that Jesus was a man who was well acquainted with affliction. How can you call yourself a Christian when you wince at any time God is trying to perfect your character? Anytime God is trying to produce perseverance in you? Anytime God is trying to help you to bless people who curse you? That's not a flesh action. You got to be full of the Holy Ghost to love somebody who curses you. To turn the other cheek when someone strikes you. To go the extra mile when you wasn't even trying to go a mile in the first place. You got to be full of that ghost to do any of the stuff that God has called you to. And that's purposeful. Because anything you do for Him requires Him. God needs to micromanage you. He knows you better than you know yourself. Elijah calls fire down from heaven, like, is getting with these false gods and these false prophets. And he like, read 1 Kings 18, fire, just straight bars, right? Hey, maybe y'all God is on the toilet. Does he hear you? You're cutting yourself, you're bleeding. Your God still ain't doing nothing. Watch mine, right? Immediately after this, Elijah goes into hiding because Jezebel is looking for him and wants his head. Look how good God is. God doesn't condemn Elijah. God says, you know what, son? You in a desert right now. I'm gonna make a desert a resting place. I'm gonna make a rock a pillow. I'm gonna make a raven DoorDash. That's what I'm gonna do for you. Because sometimes you just need to go to bed. You're not really scared. You're just sleepy. Sometimes your flesh is crying out because your soul is crying out. And some of us have completely abandoned the call of God because we're hungry, because we're tired. Do you know what is rest for your soul? Do you know what is food for your soul? This right here. Only textbook that you need. This is why you can't focus on it. That's why Instagram is easier than this. That's why Netflix is easier than this. You're tired because you haven't rested. You're scared because you haven't eaten. You have filled your body and your spirit and your mind with stuff that's not food. With stuff that's not going to sustain you. Really what it's going to do is going to hold you down. It's going to lie to you. It's going to tell you to give up your birthright. Your hunger is going to lie to you because you have not been filled with the right stuff. Here's my advice to you. Let me wrap it up in a bow. You need rest. You need the rest of God. You need to rest from your expectations. You need to rest from the lies of the enemy. You need to rest from thinking that you got it figured out. You need to rest from trying to have all the answers and have the whole plan. You need to rest and let God be God. And you need food. You need to not let your hunger tell you who you are and who you aren't. You need to get in God's face about you. Then after you get in God's face about you, you need to zoom completely out and see about the people in closest proximity to you. Your neighbors are not an accident. Your parents are not an accident. All the people who rub up against you, all the friction in your life is to make you smooth. And if you let people rub up against you and it makes you more callous, you've completely missed the point of what it means to be in Him. Because Jesus came down here. Let us rub up all up against Him. And was obedient even unto death. Hung around with us, still chose to die. You know, there were times where he had to be hungry, but he still fed somebody else instead of feeding himself. He's fully God, but he's also fully man. You know, there were times where he was disappointed, where he was sad, where he was let down, and he still loved us. Lazarus dies. Jesus gets the news. He waits. He comes. Mary and Martha are distraught. They say you should have been here. If you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. Jesus like, y'all know who I am? Do you know who I am? The resurrection isn't just for later. It's for right now. I am the resurrection, the truth, and the life. He weeps. I think he weeps because these are still his homies. And he's sad to see them sad. But I think another part of that is he weeps because they've been with him so long and they've still missed him. They've been with God, but they don't know him. They don't know that he can speak to any dead thing and make it live again. No matter how long it's been dead. They don't understand that he's always here. So the words that you should have been here, they fall flat. Don't be with God so long that you miss him. Don't be with God so long and you still not know that he's real. Don't spend all this time with God and still not know how to lead your family with integrity. Don't be giving people advice that you don't take. Don't be living a fraudulent life. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And there are some of y'all who are speaking in tongues. There are some of y'all who are laying hands on the sick. There are some of y'all who are prophesying, and you're going to go to hell if you don't get right. Because while you'll say that you knew God, he'll tell you he never knew you. Rest, eat, pray, seek, and please Do not miss God.